So Redeemer Classical Academy launched in the fall of 2020. Now that is a crazy time to launch a school if you remember 2020. And we've grown each year as we launched. We started quite small, just a few families here. But God has been faithful to bless our efforts year by year. And each year we've taken a step forward. This is our third year. We've had more students, more classes, more people involved. Our vision has remained the same all throughout, which is to help homeschooling families provide a robust classical Christian education for their children. Here's the real purpose statement of the school. Redeemer Classical Academy exists to assist parents in their responsibility to bring up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So that last line is from Ephesians 6:4, and I'm not sure how many of you have Bibles with you, but I will read it for us. Ephesians 6:4, we have this in the instruction of Paul to the different, essentially, segments of the population, the wives to husbands, husbands to wives, parents, children, all these things. Here's what God says to fathers. He says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." And really, that's kind of an anchor verse of why we do what we do, why we're doing classical Christian education. You might be asking still, though, why specifically classical Christian education? Or why specifically this model? Why is this worth my money, time, attention, all these things? And at the core, the answer goes beyond just a mere educational preference and opinion, because there's lots of ways that you can educate your children. But we are providing this kind of education because we believe that it honors God, that it is faithful, that we are doing what he's commanded us to do in his word, namely what we just read in Ephesians 6:4, to raise up these children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, to essentially raise our children in a Christian environment, a Christian worldview that way. Or to go in the Old Testament, we see in Deuteronomy 6 a very similar kind of idea. And we read that famous verse, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one," Deuteronomy 6:4. And then after that it says this, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." And there too, we see this idea that the Christian, or in this case, the people of God, Old Covenant and New Covenant, should bring up their children in an environment that's dominated by the Word of God, where God's Word speaks to every aspect of life, that as they walk by the way throughout the day, throughout the week, they are learning things in the light of God's Word. So that is the core of it. Many parents will have a different model. They might say, you know, I'm not convinced of classical Christian or a hybrid homeschooling type of thing. But we believe that this model is faithful, it's effective, and we also believe that it holds great promise for a great future for our future students, for these children. But what specifically led to the founding of this school, and really the core of why we exist in particular? And to that, I'm going to speak to two impulses behind this, three commitments, and one overarching aim. Okay, so that's kind of hang your hat on those things. We're founded by two impulses, we have three commitments, and we have one overarching aim. So the two impulses are these, provide and protect. Protect and provide. Now, there was a dramatic increase in homeschooling these last few years. I'm sure you've heard of it. In private schooling, in private Christian schooling, there's been a dramatic increase in that. It's been on the rise for quite a while, but especially in these last 3 or 4 years. One of the things that did it was the COVID pandemic, and where schools were canceled, a lot of parents were forced to find another way forward. Other times, parents were listening to the Zoom classes of their children and frankly getting freaked out by what they heard and saying, I do not want my kid being taught these things. And so this speaks to that first impulse, protect. A lot of parents have felt the need to protect their children and in education. So they've brought them out of the public school and into some sort of a private or homeschooling situation. That is the message that you hear time and time again at board meetings. You hear the politicians talking about these type of things. It's behind why many have opted out of the public schools. Many have taken Vody Bachum's warning to heart. Pastor Vody Bachum, many of you may have heard of him. He said this, "We cannot continue to send our children to Caesar for their education and be surprised when they come home as Romans." And I think a lot of people see the logic in that, that when you send them to a certain place where there's a stated worldview and a stated mission, we can't be surprised when that actually is successfully inculcated, that it actually works, that the worldview of the teachers becomes the worldview of the student, including your student. And so many have followed him and others like him. And for example, Douglas Wilson wrote this book, The Case for Classical Christian Education, decades ago. Many have read that. And so through these different influences, people have seen really the writing on the wall and have said, yeah, I'm out. Whatever we do for education, it can't be sending them to the pagans, essentially. It's gotten to be too bad, too spiritually risky for our children. That's the protect impulse, okay? Protect your kids from harm. Protect them from godless ideologies. Protect them from anti-Christian biases and rhetoric. Protect them from excessive worldly influences and pressure in their tender years. Protect them from indoctrination and enculturation in an alien and hostile worldview. And as far as that goes, fair enough. That is a good impulse that parents would have. But the other impulse behind the founding of this school is more positive. It's not so much just to protect, it's to provide. To provide for these children, our children, an education that is going to build them up in the Christian faith. This is what has motivated me the most personally. Protect is important, but God calls us to more than that, to give them a Christian education, to raise them up in the Lord. You know, and here's where we think, why struggle against the grain in sending them to a public school to have all of this worldview formation and then have all the work to undo that in the evenings and weekends as parents? It's almost just logical, or not just almost logical, it is logical to say, why don't we just give them an education in line with the Christian worldview? And that's where the light bulb has come on for many of us and said, well, wouldn't that be nice? And a lot of the reason why people haven't done it is cost. The cost of doing homeschooling is hard. You know, you have at least one parent who is now at home doing that instead of earning an income. Or even a private Christian school. It's another cost prohibitive thing. It's very hard to do. But I'd like to argue that it's worth doing. It's worth doing because of what God has called us to do in raising up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The other thing about providing this education is that we're not just meeting the public school bar. We want to excel that. We want to give our students an education that goes well beyond the metrics that we're going by in the public realm, where we just want them to be able to basically read, to basically write, to basically do math. And here we're saying, no, we want to do this excellently. We want them to know far more than we knew in our education as adults. We want to give to our children a better education than we ourselves received. So that's the two impulses, protect and provide. Now the three commitments, Christian, classical, and hybrid, or hybrid homeschool. This is what we're committed to doing. This is what we have been doing. The first point is that we're committed to a Christian education. So at Redeemer Classical Academy, you'll find a rock-solid commitment to the Christian, historic Christian faith. We are not members of a cult. We're not teaching things that are out of step with historic Protestant evangelical Christianity. And I use all those words on purpose. Christian in the sense that we're Trinitarian. We believe in God, and the God is revealed to us in the Scriptures. We believe the creeds, you know, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, these things. We're Protestant, though, as well, because here we are not as a Catholic school, but as a school that is teaching the gospel, teaching justification by faith alone, teaching our kids to grow in grace, to grow in these things. And to give it a little bit more definition, we're evangelical. We're not specifically Baptist or some other denomination, but we're evangelical in the sense that we really believe the gospel. We're really committed to the truth of God's word, unlike some of what goes by Protestant in our day and age. So what we're doing as a Christian school is and you gotta, this is really what I want to get at here. We make it our chief aim to teach all things in accordance with a Christian worldview. All things in the framework of a Christian worldview. If education was like baking a cake, then we're not just taking the public school curriculum cake and sprinkling some chapel and prayers on top of it and saying, yay, that's a Christian education. We're baking an entirely different cake. This is not the same thing. Even the choices of subjects differ greatly from what you find in a regular public school. And some are quite surprised by that. They say, well, aren't you going to teach that or that? And there is some significant overlap, but we are doing something completely different. This is education done in Christ, through Christ, and for Christ. So whether we're studying science, Latin, history, or anything else, it is all done in relation to Christ and for His glory. So Redeemer Classical Academy is first and foremost a Christian institution. We're founded on the Christian faith. We're concerned about teaching students about God, about creation, about redemption, and about all things from a Christian worldview. The other thing that's crucial to mention here is that we don't just believe about teaching secular subjects and then also teaching Christian subjects. I think I've already made this a little bit clear, but the key thing is, and this is Romans 11:36, that from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. So everything is integrated. That's the goal. That when we're learning science, when we're learning art, we are seeing it as Christians. That's why it has a fundamentally different character in the classroom. And that is what is so wrong, actually, about in the public school situation, which has this myth of neutrality, where we say, well, these teachers are neutral. But the fact is that there really is no neutrality. That no one comes into teaching a subject without a worldview, without prior commitments, without preconceptions and presuppositions that they bring to the table. And so our presuppositions are right here out in the open. We're Christians. We believe the Bible. We believe this whole world is charged with the glory of Christ, that He is in and through everything that we could study, we could find His fingerprints in this world. And so we study as Christians. We're constantly pointing the children to glorify Christ and what we're discovering. That is our goal. Well, the second commitment of the three is classical. We're recovering older and forgotten tools of learning, namely the classical model of education. So we're committed to this classical approach. What is that exactly? Well, here's a few things, give you kind of a picture of it. It's rigorous. It's disciplined. It's rooted in the history of Western civilization. It is not based on some modern progressive notions of education where we say, let's not be a sage on the stage. Let's just be a friend beside the student and help them learn what they have bubbling up within. We don't believe that here. And the classical model never believed that. Classical model said, children come into the world fundamentally ignorant, and they need to be taught. And not that they don't have glorious, they're created in the image of God, and there's going to be some glorious creativity that bubbles up, and we're going to encourage that. But we fundamentally have an educational paradigm that we are bringing these students through. We're saying, you need this discipline. You need to memorize this, learn this. This is part of the path. And it's a path of not just getting the right information into the student's head, but also to form their character, to teach them the value of hard work, of discipline in these things. And the classical model is fantastic for that. With a classical education, the student progresses through three stages of learning called the trivium. And those three stages are these: grammar, logic, and rhetoric. And it's not that each of those is just a class, although there is a logic class, there are grammar classes, and there are rhetoric classes. But really what they refer to is each stage of learning for the student. There is a grammar stage where you learn the basics, the grammar of each subject, the grammar of science, the grammar of Latin, the grammar of English language. But then you go beyond that to logic, where now you're not just learning the facts about science, you're asking questions. You're not just learning the facts about history, you're asking questions of what happened in history and why, and engaging. That's logic. And then the final stage is being rhetoric, is where you're learning to not just memorize and debate, but to communicate. And in order to really, it's kind of the capstone of the whole education, that we get more into that during high school years, where the students will read widely and learn to write creatively and basically put the bow on their education, that they've put the work in, they've learned, they've thought through, they've thought logically, and they can speak beautifully, and they can write beautifully. And these are kind of the three stages. Now, we also pair those up, and this was an insight from Dorothy Sayers, a contemporary of C.S. Lewis and Tolkien at Oxford. And Dorothy Sayers, she wrote a book called Recovering the Lost Tools of Learning, or I believe it's just called The Lost Tools of Learning. And in it, she advocates for the classical model, and she pairs it with insights from early childhood development, showing that really the trivium goes perfectly with the stages of childhood development, where when children are in the early stages, they're in the pole parrot stage, or the stage where they can chant things, their memories are like sponges, they can just absorb things. That is the perfect time to get them to memorize scripture, memorize the facts of and the vocabulary of Latin, all these things. The next stage, logic, is right in those middle school years when the children are naturally asking, why? Why is that the way that is? What is this for? Well, what a perfect time to teach them logic and to start asking those questions within all the subjects. And then when children are becoming teenagers and they're self-conscious and they want to know how to present themselves to the world, teach them rhetoric, how to speak publicly, how to write, how to read widely, all of these things. So that is part of the classical model. There's more that we can say about that, but really, just to wrap it up, with this model, we are not training more worker bees for the hive, okay, for the secularist hive. And that's what the public school seems to want to do, is we want people to have basic skills for basic jobs in society. We don't want to do that. We're not teaching an education that is basic at all. It's actually way over the top. And why is that? Well, because we believe these students are created in God's image, and that they're made to have dominion in this world, that they're made to think for themselves, think critically, logically, and perhaps to build things, and even to build society itself. And so we have a high bar for our students. Instead of preparing them to be worker bees for the hive, we're preparing them to become culture makers. Men and women prepared to think critically and to engage our culture with wisdom and virtue and faith. And then the third commitment is that we are hybrid, or you could say a homeschool hybrid. That's what we're committed to doing. So we employ this model, giving homeschooling families the benefits of classroom learning 2 days per week while leaving 3 days for home-based learning. So as a classical Christian school, we firmly believe that parents hold the authority in their children's lives and the responsibility for their education. Hence, Romans 6:4 was not written to random principals of schools. It was written to fathers. And by extension, you know, you see in the Proverbs, mothers and fathers are both told, and the child is told to listen to his mother, listen to your father, learn from them. So parents hold this primary responsibility for the education of their children. Now they can bring them to a school to help discharge that duty, but it's really incumbent upon them to be a part of this process. And I believe the hybrid homeschooling model really helps with that. Instead of just sending your children elsewhere, you are going to be partnering with us, Lord willing, to work together with your for your child's education. So 2 days a week, we've been 1 day a week up to this point. We are moving to 2 days a week, Lord willing. And with that, we would be teaching some of these subjects, but not every subject. And then we'd be giving some homework and some things for the parents to reinforce throughout the week. But really what we're doing is we're biting off a chunk of the homeschooling burden, as it were. And that should be, and that has been, a very big blessing to many parents. But just to reiterate, we exist to help parents discharge their duties to bring up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We aim to supplement what parents are already doing in their homeschools, to take part of it. We are a limited academy in that sense, in that we're teaching science, history, fine art, Latin, writing, and phys ed. So in addition to teaching that material, which is a great help to homeschooling families, we're also providing students an opportunity to learn in a structured school environment. Because there are deficiencies to each model. There is a deficiency to just homeschooling, I would argue. And one of them is known to be that there's just a hard, it's hard to get that social environment. It's hard to get that structured classroom. There's always the joke going that homeschooled kids don't know how to line up for anything, because they just don't have to line up at the kitchen table very often. But so here they actually learn that, how to line up, how to sit in a class, how to engage with their peers, how to be part of sports teams together. And all these things is a great blessing in this model. And let me just finish now with this, our one overarching aim. And it is simply this, and I've touched on it already, the glory of Christ. That's what makes us a Christian academy at the core. It's not some mere external action that we just say the right things or we're doing something perfunctory. The difference is that all we do for the glory of Christ. Our teachers are all volunteers, don't get paid a dime, and we do this joyfully. We founded this school joyfully for the glory of Christ. We think this is worthwhile. He is the goal in everything we do. As we read already in Romans 11:36, for from him and through him and to him are all things. So in whatever we do, whether we're learning science, whether we're learning art, all these things, we're doing it for his glory. Christ is not to be compartmentalized. And I think that's something that all of our students are learning, is that really their Christian faith is not something on Sunday and in their quiet times. Their Christian faith is everywhere. It impacts everything they do. It's in our schooling. It's in our work. Right after that verse I just quoted, from him and through him and to him are all things, we read this. We read Romans 12:1, to present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Now that means a lot of things, but one thing it means for sure is that the altar of our worship is not in some temple in Jerusalem or far away, but the altar for our worship of God as Christians is everywhere you are. It's where you're sitting right now. It's where you're standing. Whatever we put our hands to is where we are to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That is our spiritual worship. The whole world, the whole world, wherever you go, is the altar. That's what we are doing. That's what we're teaching these students. Our lives are to be a continuous, holy existence, a life of worship, a living sacrifice. And that teaching doesn't turn us into monks, cloistered away from the world either. We're called to live this life of worship in this very world. So Paul goes on to say, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, Romans 12:2. Our life as Christians in this world is to be characterized by a holy difference from the world. We've been changed. We were once in the world, and the world loved us as its own, but now we live for Christ. We're different. We are transformed, and we're being transformed more and more, and yet we're still here on earth with science and automobiles and carpentry and physics and politics and all sorts of things. We are here on this world. Well, how are we to do any of those things? And the answer, for the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. As it says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's why Christian education. That's why this classical Christian hybrid model, we're seeking to apply all of these things into our great pursuit of glorifying Christ. That's our one aim in all that we're doing, even though it's hard work, even though it hurts the wallet a little bit. There's all these things that it costs, but we're saying this is worth it because I want to make a difference in the lives of the next generation, equipping them to be culture makers, to live for the glory of Christ. And that's hence part of why we have the name that we have, Redeemer Classical Academy. God is the one who is buying back what has been lost to sin, and he's making it fit for himself. And even as we look into all areas of this world, we're seeking to apply the grace of our Redeemer. He is the center of everything. He's the center of history. He's the Lord of all. And from him and through him and to him are all things. So we ought to do, and we are seeking to do all things for his glory, offering up our whole lives as worship to our great Redeemer.